The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and I am hailing to you guys from the great state of Missouri, or Misery, as many people are stating, if you live here and anything like that. Let me tell you what we don't have here. We don't have hurricanes that we're having to deal with, which is a good thing, because those poor people, my heart goes out to every single one of you. But thank you so much for listening to the queue. Make sure you guys check out thequeunow.com, theqnow.com. We are live in the studio, where we haven't been live in the studio for the last few weeks, but would I ever in a million years allow a presidential election to happen and go by without me doing a show live a few days before it? No, sirree. And listen, I am joined today by an amazing individual. Let me break down the show for you real quick before I introduce this individual. He's a little finicky. He's jumping around a little bit in his chair. He works for Emo's Pizza, and it's one of those situations where it's out of control here. We've got a big decision to make on Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. And the Q, which does tend to be a politically based show, I'll be the first one to admit it. It's a relatively politically based show. I kind of like to when people ask me about the Q. And by the way, let me introduce to you guys Adam. Adam, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Now, what's your last name again? I'm sorry.
Jackson.
Adam Jackson. He is a noted conservative. Are you not, sir? Are you a conservative? Yes or no?
Yes, I am.
I know that's very difficult, a yes or no question to be asked of a conservative, and then you have to answer yes or no without having to put something before it or after it and all that. So you are a conservative?
Yes.
Okay. And he's going to be here because, first off, Travis Cook, my typical cannon fodder, my Tea Party loving little buddy, he couldn't be here today because, now listen, we've done debates against each other. We've been ramping Travis Cook and me face to face on this show, arguing politics on behalf of Mitt Romney and Barack Obama literally for a year and a half. So the weekend, the show, the last show, the one where it's all for the kit and caboodles, the finals. This is the show. And when I ask him if he can be on a few weeks ago, he goes, "Oh, I have to go hiking that day." What? You're scared like the rest of the conservatives. I'm scared of healthcare. I'm scared of debating. I'm scared of this. I'm scared of that. You're scared. You went hiking. Come on, man. You do a whole show called America's Evil Genius where his whole point, Adam, is that he gets on there and just literally rips in to liberals. That's his thing. Here's your chance to argue your opinion and try to influence the thousands of people that are listening to this radio show currently, right now as we speak. Because I'm a moderate. My mind can be changed. Adam, you can change my mind. I can have a mind changed over to a conservative feel and vote Mitt Romney. It's possible. Not likely right now, because I'm smart and versed, and I kind of know exactly what I'm dealing with here. And I'm not better than everyone else because I do a lot more studying or that I get paid for this or anything like that. I just happen to put myself in a little deeper than others, okay? While many other people are saucing pizzas, delivering them, and eating them, I'm studying. That's what I'm doing. Not a knock on you, by any way. I was joking. He doesn't even work for a pizza place. And if he did, it wouldn't be Emo's. Come on, let's be honest, okay?
No, I will neither confirm nor deny if I can even tolerate Emo's pizza.
Fair enough. Now, I would have expected Travis to be here because, yeah, big election. Not the most important one of our history. Everybody wants to believe that this is the most important election of our history. It's not the most important election of our history. The next one will be. Because This is going to go one of two ways, ladies and gentlemen. And Adam, by the way, first off, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
I really do appreciate you coming here. He's going to argue on behalf of the conservatives today. We are going, this show is not designed to be an argumentative base. This is a discussion between a liberal, moderate liberal, and a conservative. And basically, we're here to argue our points and sides, discuss them, and leave it up into your hands for what you guys need to know or want to know about politics and what's coming up this Tuesday for this election. Plus, we're going to get into some current events, maybe some letters from the listeners. I love to throw that in there. The Q Show, like I said, when I tried to explain it to people, it's like 60% Daily Show with 40% current events and Howard Stern. It's an interesting mix. You know what I'm saying? Because it's only the Howard Stern aspect because the topics I talk about, like abortion, things like that, they're controversial topics. I don't go out of my way to create controversy. There's a difference. If you disagree with me, that's not controversy. That just means that you're butt hurt and you disagree with me. Now, by the way, for all you regressives out there, including yourself, I'll be the first to admit to all of you that I've already coined the term for what the Wednesday after the election will be called. That will be called Butthurt Wednesday.
Butthurt Wednesday. Nice.
Yes, Butthurt Wednesday. Turn look into the microphone. Yeah, pull that microphone to your mouth.
Okay.
You know what it is. You know what it's like. You know exactly what it's like. Okay, now, I need you to talk into that microphone. It's okay. I'll make sure you're taken care of there, Adam.
Thank you.
I call it Butthurt Wednesday, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, Butthurt Wednesday. Butthurt Wednesday is the day of the week after the presidential election of 2012, where if Barack Obama wins, a lot of bitter, seething, angry conservatives will just further become more bitter, more seething, more butthurt. And what's really going to be the kicker this time, it's not going to be the argument that, oh, all the black people voted for the black guy and all that. No, no, no. If he wins this time around, it's going to be a close race. It's going to be just enough people still don't like your attitude. And everyone hates. Listen, if you get beat, listen, if we're running against each other and I beat you by 50 yards on a racetrack, you're like, the guy got me by 50 yards. Like, it was going to be a very difficult way for me to come up from that. But if the guy beats you by literally a step, a foot.
Why couldn't I have made up that one more
step? Yeah, what could have I have done and now I have to deal with this?
Right.
Because I know I can beat him, but I didn't. And that really makes people sour. It makes them bitter. It makes them sad. Now, aside from being a fantastic conservative that you are, you don't believe yourself to be a fantastic conservative? Eric, our friend, I don't even really know Eric all that well. I know that Eric just became a friend of mine on Facebook, and then we just kind of like posted back and forth with each other and stuff like that. He's the one who threw you under the bus on this one. Now, he did throw him under the bus in the fact that, like, he thinks that his friend, he was just throwing him to the wolves. No, no, no. I put out a post that basically said, listen, anybody who would like to come on my show from the conservative side, be my guest. I have an open slot. Eric stated that you should do this, and you said, sure. So thank you very much for answering the post and the call.
Thank you.
You have more credibility in my book for doing this than almost 99.9% of other conservatives, including Dana Loesch, Jamie Allman, and anyone at 97.1, and anybody at any of the radio stations who is a conservative in the St. Louis area, period. Because I've challenged them all to discussions in an hour on my show or an hour on their show, and this and that, and they all run like little girls.
Now, even Dana Loesch,
all of them run like little. She's a mommy blogger.
She's pretty confrontational, though.
Yeah, she sure is, and she sure tucked that tail and ran as fast as she could when I came walking around. Yeah, you can sit there and make the argument, well, you're just a little plebeian. I don't know who you are. Sweetheart, I have 10,000 national listeners a week. I will show you my numbers. You don't have 10,000 listeners in an hour of your show. 1 hour of your show. Seriously. Maybe in the first days of your show a few years ago, when everybody was all tea partied up, yeah, maybe you had 10,000 listeners in 1 hour. You don't. You're on all these different TV shows and stuff like that. And I'm not knocking Dana Loesch. Congratulations to her for being successful at what she does. I don't knock her for having an opinion. I don't knock her for being successful. What I knocked it for is when someone else comes a calling and knocking on your door within your media profession. You're unwilling to take the you're unwilling to take up the call for your conservative brethren and step into the ring face to face with me. There's nobody else who does what I do in the St. Louis area. There's no one else who does what I do in an 8-state region. I am the only moderate liberal example of talk radio in 8 full states. Others will claim it. I live it. I am in the St. Louis market. How many liberal, moderate radio talk show hosts, Adam, do you know that exist in the St. Louis region?
Since Jayco went off the air, I don't
know
of anybody.
Since Jayco went off the air, he doesn't know anyone.
No.
Yeah. That's me pounding the desk. He doesn't know anyone. That means I am a lone soldier. I am a SEAL Team 6 member in your Bin Laden house by myself. Come around the corner. Dare me to shoot. It ain't all about having an NRA badge and hat and talking about how I'm going to shoot guns on the weekend with my Mossy Oak jacket on. No, 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 sweetheart. We gunning over here. We get gangster. We get gangster over here, dude. And I don't think that Dana Lesh and Jamie Allman and the rest of them, they talk a great game. They have a lot of people that call in. But it's a bunch of people that are just listening to the same things that they say every single day of the week. As a moderate, at least I pull from both sides. I give everybody a fair shot. You don't even have the guts to stand up to me for 15 minutes on your radio show? Get out of here. You're a waste. How dare Emmis waste their money on you as a person? Period. Save your money, Jeff Allen. Go get somebody who's better and more talented, honestly. Or just call me up. I guarantee you, you'll get way more listeners. Because they're going to hate me. They're going to hate me for everything it's worth, but I'll have 25,000 people listening every week that hate me. Instead of 5,000 that love me. And I already got 5,000 that love me. So, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, it's going to be me and you, Adam, and we're going to dig in. Okay. We're going to dig in, and I want to find out, first off, why you're stupid. You can call me a libtard if you want. I'll give you all kinds of camera. Libtard, idiot, moron. You just come up with names. Like, just call me whatever you want, because I'm calling you regressive, and that's all there is to that. We'll be back right after this on The Q. Make sure you guys check out theqnow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q Show here on 1280 AM KYRO WestplexNewsTalk.com, the blowtorch of the Midwest. Yeah, we're a small station, but hey, when you're preceded by Dennis Miller and you're postseded by G. Gordon Liddy, and you're a liberal show, you know for a fact that you have a popular fan base because they picked you up. That's all there is to it. That's right. That's something you probably didn't even realize, Adam. My show was so popular independently that even a conservative radio station had to show it respect and had to pick it up. They had no choice.
Liddy is still on the air?
Yeah. Huh. He's doing his thing. I don't know why, but he is. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking politics today for a little bit. We're arguing on behalf of the conservatives and the liberals of the United States of America to try and help you make your decision of why you should vote one way or the other. So, Adam, you've been here for a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I railed on Dana Lesh, 97.1, a bunch of different radio stations and people, as well as, you know, giving you cannon fodder. Please explain to me why you're regressive. Why are you a regressive?
Well, I'm not going to jump in with the label there of regressive.
Hey, you don't have to jump with the label. I just need an answer.
That's fine. I'm also not a name caller, so don't worry about the libtard and such things.
That's fine. No big deal.
Why am I a conservative? That's as complicated a question as anybody can get, because everybody labels themselves different by definition.
Okay.
I, honestly, from my perspective, I am not your typical conservative by definition. I believe some things are conservative that are thought to be liberal. So I like to think of myself more as a thinker. I'm also not exactly excited about, we can debate numbers, we can debate topics, but I know listeners tune out.
Can't really debate numbers. Numbers are facts.
Exactly. Well, but listeners tune out when you start throwing too many whatever versus whatever. So from my perspective as a conservative, I call myself a neoliberal constitutional conservative.
Okay, you already made a mistake.
Go ahead.
You called yourself a constitutional conservative of any sort, whether it's new or old, neo or not neo, or the red pill or the blue pill.
Well, the neoliberal is kind of an in-joke because
right.
modern conservatism is very similar to what was once called liberalism.
Yes, see, a lot, and I'm glad that you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up. We don't talk about this much on the show, but for all my my stupid people, because The Q is not a show for stupid people. You have to be able to think. You have to be able to understand and know what's going on in life, okay? The conservative values of 2012 were the democratic values of the 1930s and 1920s and 1910s and before that.
You could even argue maybe up to the 60s.
Up to the 50, actually 59.
59, okay.
Up to close to like 58, 59, somewhere in that range, is when it actually started to really switch out pretty heavily. And the ideals and the thought processes of the conservatives and Republicans of the 1930s is now the ideals and thought processes of the Democrats in 2012. There was a complete flip-flop of the system. Now, a lot of that had to do with segregation and desegregation. A lot of that had to do with right to vote for African-Americans and urban black people. Things like that. A lot of those changes. Now, what happened, and I've explained this on the show before, is those people, they kept voting for a name tag, Democrat or Republican. They never realized that the ideals of the party switched. They just kept voting because that's what they had been used to voting for years. That's why to this day, black people should be voting, and I'm saying black people, primarily the minorities in the United States of America should be voting for Republicans. But they're not. They're voting for Democrats, which was the opposite of who they were. Because even though Abraham Lincoln was a Republican, the thing that he did was very Democratic, which is eventually what got him shot and killed. John Wilkes Booth hated the fact that he had done what he did. He had freed the slaves and pretty much destroyed the South via the Civil War. He hated that and shot him for it at a crappy play. So, you made a great point.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. Because a lot of people who are conservative don't realize that. They don't understand. And the other thing is, listen, don't argue with me and don't argue with Adam on this. All right? We're smart people. Okay, we're not retarded second graders who don't know how to speak and like, you know, English is our second language, okay? Stop that. That's not who we are. That's not what we are. Okay? We're grown men who are versed in the things that we talk about and we know exactly what we're talking about. We might not necessarily agree, but that doesn't mean you should argue every single point with us. We don't care if strawberry shortcake should smell like strawberries, okay? It's a doll. Let's get over it. And that's literally what I equate a lot of these political arguments to, Adam. The stuff as simple and is meaningless as what I just put up there about strawberry shortcake.
I completely agree with you on that.
Of course you do. I wouldn't say it if it wasn't right. And I don't mean right politically. I mean just right in general. I don't say wrong things, guys. I think before I speak. Even if you think I don't think before I speak, I think before I speak every single time. I know exactly what I'm saying. I know exactly how I'm saying it. I know exactly. I know exactly what I want to get out of you the way I want it to come out.
Exactly.
Now, so there's many facets to why you are a conservative.
Yes.
And none of those facets or all of those facets have to do with, most conservatives I throw into this category. We only got a minute here. And if you guys want to join in on this call, and if you want to be a part of the show, 636-356-9266. It is the Sunday before the elections. We are live on the radio. You can speak to thousands of people nationally that are listening to the show as we sit here. If you're a conservative, call in. Challenge me directly. Tell the people what you want them to hear. 636-356-9266. This ain't some podcast. It's a real show. Okay? Everybody who's got a freaking iMac and a voice recorder on their cell phone is not a radio show host. Stop acting like you are and stop telling people you are. You're not. Just because you were able to purchase a Tascam plugin or, you know, an iPad to record your voice, that doesn't make you anything. What it makes you is another guy with an iPhone. Done. You got an iPhone too. I never used it to record anything. I think it's because I'm on real radio. Anyway, regardless of that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Land. I don't even know what's going on here. We just got champions versus champions, and we got stuff all over my screen, and oh my goodness. Welcome back to the queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland. You are listening to the only moderate liberal radio show in the Midwest, I would believe. I mean, there's probably others who claim that they are, but they aren't doing what I do, and I am right here with you guys doing what I do. Today, I'm joined by one Adam Jackson. Adam Jackson.
Yes.
Reputed, noted, conservative, paranormal investigator.
Nice.
Which kind of throws everybody for a loop because they're like, we already got enough conspiracy problems with us. Now we got some loop head who thinks he's finding ghosts every time he comes around a corner. My ghost background is actually pretty deep, actually. I've been in places a lot of people haven't ever been into that have tried to get into just via the radio shows that I've done over the history. Caverns of the Limp Mansion, like into the actual caverns, the ballroom, the swimming pool, all of that. Been there, done that. Been through the steel guarded gates to get into those places. Have seen some freaky stuff. Seen the mineral springs and the rivers down and below. Had to use a lighter to try to figure out if we had enough oxygen. Gets deep. It gets deep down there. A lot of people don't realize those caverns are huge. Now, we brought Adam on the show today because I put out a little call to all the people on Facebook and social media around the United States and the world. And Adam was one of the people who decided to jump in and take the bait. And here he is. And we're talking conservatism. We're talking we're talking all the good stuff. Let's get into it.
Okay.
Now, you are a conservative because explain the kind of conservative you are. You said you're a libertarian pretty much. You like smoking pot and all those things.
No.
But you hate conservative.
I don't personally, no, but
I'm not saying that you do it.
Should I lay out a little bit?
Sure, go ahead.
My belief system?
Sure.
All right. I say I'm conservative, and that's because I am. I'm a Reagan era kid. I was 10 in 1980. I was 20 in 1990, so that's pretty much the Reagan era when I grew up.
Right.
I got that. I'm a formerly active duty United States Marine.
Okay.
Not a lot of liberals in that organization.
I wouldn't say, well, why is that? Why do you think that there's not a lot of liberals in the Army and the Marines? Like, I
didn't say the Army.
But I'm just talking about in military in general. I mean, I think it would apply to not just the Marines. I think it would apply across the board to a lot of people.
Well, the Marine Corps has a very different mindset than it's smaller. It attracts a certain kind of person. Different
okay.
from a larger organization such as the Army, Air Force.
Well, no, I had a friend named Randy Orton who's a WWE world champion, and he was a Marine Corps sniper. He was actually in sniper training for the Marine Corps. So I understand, but, you know, I don't think that I think that if it applies to the Marines, it probably applies to the others, too.
No, I've actually served in the Army as well. And the Army was more of a 50-50 type situation.
Okay. All right.
In general, if I want to speak on the terms of the military tends to be used differently under democratic regimes. Sorry about the word usage there. Than it is under conservative administrations.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. For instance, when I left the Marine Corps in 1990.
Let me ask you a question. So that, I mean, because we got to remember, when you're talking to a lot of people like we are right now, not everybody's thinking on their toes immediately. Mm-hmm. And they're not all going to be able to read between your lines as fast as you want them to. They can read between the lines. My listeners can read between the lines. They're smart. I have smart listeners. All of them, summa cum laude, top of their classes. I don't have dumb listeners. There's about 2,000 conservatives that listen to my show that are arguably the dumb ones. We could argue that they are the dumb ones, but I'm not going to even give them that credit. If they're listening to my show in the first place, they're listening for two reasons. One, because they want to hate everything I have to say. But two, because they're learning what the other side is thinking. And I'm moderate. So they're learning from a hybrid, which is actually a great idea. You know, we proved it with UFC fighting. You can go in there with karate only or sumo wrestling only, but if you hybrid all those and put them together, you become a lot more dangerous than everybody else.
I remember the early days of that, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, under a conservative regime, I would assume, okay, let's say a fight breaks out between two people.
Okay.
Let's analogy time for everyone out there. Small base analogy. And we're going to run it through the Democrat as well as the Republican regimes. All right. Two people start fighting. And here's an individual off to the side who is a military member under a Democratic regime. I am under the impression, and agree, tell me if you agree with this.
Okay.
Because, I mean, your current knowledge of the military compared to when you were in the military is probably different.
Okay. Yes.
I'm assuming under a Democratic regime, they're going to go and try to break the fight up. The military guy will. Under, and I'm just, like I said, it's an analogy, okay? Everybody's different. Under a Republican regime, or a conservative regime, as you called it. I love how you use your regime. That's good. They're going to choose a side to knock one off. Whichever side they feel that they want to be on the side of. I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's not really a bad analogy.
Oh, it's a. I bet it's a perfect analogy. I bet you it's very true to form. I bet you when Republicans are in there, they choose a side and they fight the other guy along with whoever. These two are fighting. They choose a side. They jump in on the person. Under a Democratic regime, these two are fighting. The military comes in and tries to break apart and keep the peace between the two, not choosing a specific side. Okay, tell me something. Adam, you ever been in a fist fight at a bar?
I don't drink, so I don't go to
bars.
Have
you ever been in a fist fight?
Absolutely.
You have?
Yes.
And how do you feel when one of your opponent's buddies decides to jump in and double team 2-on-1? How do you feel? How do most people feel when somebody's buddy chooses a side and decides to jump in and start beating them up?
Is this where you get the...
Can I ask you a question?
You just did.
What's the answer? Do you like it or do you hate it?
I'm all for it.
You're all for it. You kind of paused there pretty heavily because you know where the analogy's going. You kind of know exactly where you should stand because most people would say 2-on-1. Those are unfair odds. That ain't cool.
I know where I paused because that's my opinion. I'll take the two. But the average person, you're looking for the well. That's not fair.
The majority of people, regardless of their political sidings, would say that that's not fair. If I was in here, if me and somebody teamed up on you right now in this radio station and beat you up, that wouldn't be cool, and that would not be fair. You would probably be like, dude, okay, maybe we disagree, but if we're going to fight, man to man, man it up. Then all of a sudden, I got some guy who comes in, he's like, Mark versus Adam. Oh, I hate Adam today.
I've been in those kind of fights.
But I'm just saying, it ain't cool. It wasn't cool. You didn't sit in your car afterwards. Don't even sit here and try on this radio show to tell me or anybody else in the United States of America that after a fist fight where you were double teamed, you got into your car and you were like, hey, man, what a great decision by my opponent to make sure somebody else jumped in and beat the hell out of me. Wow. I really appreciate that. I can respect that. And that's fantastic. That's never happened.
You're assuming I lost the fight.
I'm assuming that you lost the fight.
No.
Yeah, of course.
Again.
You've never done that. That has never happened. Those words have never come out of your mouth. That thought process never crossed your mind. Ever once.
I have been in a fight against two people, and I did win.
That's fine. That's okay.
I see exactly where you're coming
from. But that's luck.
But now let's
most people would lose that fight.
Now let's put this into the real world perspective. Let's just do it. Let's go extreme. Okay. Let's say...
Wow, a conservative wanting to go extreme. Rare.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. We got Israel. We got Iran.
Yes. Israel and Iran. This is actually... Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about things that you need to think about for the presidential election on Tuesday. Here's a good way. Go.
Okay. Using your analogy.
Yes, sir.
Let's just say we stay conventional war. That means tanks and guns, folks, not nuclear weapons and chemical weapons. Israel and Iran go at it. Pretend they could actually go head-to-head. There's not something between them. There is. There's a couple of countries between them. According to you, America, or according to the liberal side, America should go, hey, 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 guys. No. Stay away from each other. Let's play nice.
No, no, that's what you said that the Democratic regime would do. That's what you said.
Very fair.
That they would do.
The Republican side would back the country that is our ally, which is Israel in this case. For those of you who don't, this is one of the issues I have with the American mindset in the modern era. We are very short-sighted. Nobody today remembers that at one point Iran was our friend, then it wasn't, then it was our enemy, and it has been for the past 30 years.
Iran-Contra affair.
Exactly. That's mid to late 1980s. 1979, the Tehran embassy was overrun by students.
Yep.
And a number, I forget, it's 119 hostages.
Something like that, yeah.
119 people were held for over 14 months.
The bane of Jimmy Carter's presidency.
Absolutely it was.
But here's the funny thing. I think that you guys on the conservative side need to understand something. Okay? Let me put you on point, Adam. Let me help you out.
Okay.
As a former military serviceman yourself. Okay? You can't control the world.
No.
You don't control the world. They have their own backyards and playgrounds that they play in. You have no say in how they run their backyards and their playgrounds. It doesn't matter that they take their hostages in their countries and do what they do to them. It is not your place to go looking over the fence to figure out why your neighbors are yelling in their backyard at each other. If they want to argue with each other, that's their choice.
Those hostages were American.
No, I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about in general.
Okay.
Not the hostages. Yes, we know that they were. Really? Like, we don't have Google? We don't have the face Googles? Really? We don't have the inner Googles? We can get on the inner Googles anytime and figure these things out. Okay.
Google box.
But my point is that it's not our place. If they have something of ours, okay, let's bring. Everybody wants to talk Benghazi, right? You love Benghazi. You know the Benghazi thing?
Absolutely.
Okay, let's talk Benghazi for a minute because that's the newest hot flashpoint.
Now,
stop.
I'm good with that, but I want to circle back around.
We will circle back around. Okay. But I think it runs into the exact same position we're in right here. Okay?
That might be tricky because that does involve Americans.
All right, finish your point. Finish your point. We'll go to Benghazi in a minute.
Okay. This is what you just said. You just made a very conservative statement, just to let you know. Stay the hell out of people's way in other countries.
Oh, no.
No, the Democrats.
That is not a conservative decision.
The Democrats, and when I say Democrats, ladies and gentlemen, I am speaking of the people on high, the ivory tower, the politicians. I have nothing against the average, everyday Joe Democrat.
But it's the same thought process across the board, whether you're Barack Obama or Mark.
I don't believe that.
No, it is.
And I don't believe that, and I'll explain why if you'd like.
Sure.
And I'm gonna take a punch on this one.
You're gonna take a lot of punches today because you're a conservative.
Well, I'm gonna give some too.
Barely. I haven't felt anything yet.
But
it might be my show, but listen, you're more than welcome to let go at any time you want.
The individuals,
yes,
who are currently in the upper echelon of the Democratic Party, the elected officials and those who hold the power, not necessarily elected, suffer from the same thing Republicans did in the 80s. In the 80s, the Republicans were hijacked by the moral majority. Absolutely, they were.
The Republicans were hijacked by the moral majority.
Christian conservatives.
Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Did Reagan facilitate it? Yes, he did.
Really?
Yes.
You really believe this?
Yes.
Reagan was a bigger purveyor of the nightclub partying, coke snorting music mogul as much, if not more, than he was of your Roberts.
Well, that might be fine, but you have to look at who Reagan supported. I'm not saying him individually. Reagan.
And what happened to all of the large Joyce Meyer-esque, super church, conservative-loving guys?
They kind of went down in the ball.
Where did they all go?
Most of them ended up apologizing or in jail.
Apologizing or in jail.
Okay.
So that means that the conservative base of the 1980s that was completely racked and run by, as you just stated, Ronald Reagan, who allowed them to do that and encompassed them in his game, used them to his advantage, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That thought process led to a bunch of these so-called Christian right leaders eventually ending up in jail because they were pieces of lying crap.
Now,
so why should I believe a single person in 2012 that goes, I love Reaganomics, I love the Ronald Reagan era, I love those Christian fundamentals, and I am in total support of that in 2012. Dude, all of your leaders were pieces of crap that went to jail for the rest of their lives. Seriously, why would I want to support you as a person who can be swayed, as I stated at the beginning of the show? Why would I want to support you and your thought processes, any of you, whether it's you, Adam, or anybody else, at all? Now, I'm not saying that you fall into that realm. That you actually are one of these Ronald Reagan, Christian-loving, far-right extremists, or even close to that. But I'm saying there are a lot of them out there still. A lot of your Tea Party people fall into exactly what you're talking about. In 2010, they upended the House. They took over the House because they screamed enough about the black guy in office and how they were butthurt about 2008 and how the whole world was coming to an end. These are the people who you listen to. Todd Akin told people rape was cool. You're going to vote him as the senator of the state of Missouri. He told your president-elect, potentially, to go F himself when he was asked to step out of the race against Claire McCaskill. So you have a president that can be walked on by candidates? Candidates? Your president-elect, potentially, Mitt Romney, got walked over by a candidate, not an incumbent, not someone who has already run and won a Senate position or a House position in the United States military or the United States government or the United States anything. This is just a guy who worked at a donut shop the day before. He told the future potential president of the United States to go F himself and got away with it. What the hell do you think John Boehner will do to a guy like Mitt Romney?
That's a good take on it. It's an interesting take. But
I mean,
you
seriously, what do you think he's going to do?
You've got to remember,
if I told you to go F yourself tomorrow, Adam, and you became the governor of the state of Missouri, you don't think that you'd keep Mark Bland's name in the back of your memory? You don't think you'd keep that in the back of your mind a little bit?
I'd invite you to the inauguration.
Yeah, you sure would. To stick it in my face.
No.
Why would you invite me to the inauguration?
Because there's a really good chance that whatever you and I argued about helped propel me to that position.
Regardless, why would you invite me? You think I'm a piece of crap. I told you to go F yourself.
Well, that's just it, though. There are some things that are professional and there are some that are personal.
No. When it comes right down to it, either you like a person and want them there or you don't like a person and want them there.
Not true. I have family members who think completely differently from me that I would be happy to have there.
That's because it's blood related. I'm talking about complete, utter strangers to each other. They have no family ties, no blood ties, no relation. I tell you to go F yourself, Adam. Right now, live on the radio, you're going to get bitter about it. You're going to get in your car. You're not going to talk about how cool it was that the other guy thought about having his friend jump in. You're not going to get in your car and go, man, you know what? It's possible. Mark just told me to F myself on the radio, but you know what? That was really cool because I think it's going to help me. No. If you invite me to your inauguration after I tell you to go F yourself, the thought process running through your mind at that point is here's a good way for me to get Mark's gird a little bit. I'm going to get him back. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's human nature. That's human nature. This guy told me to go F myself. Smile. Always smile to their face. You know what I'm saying? Keep them smiling. Yeah, that's right. You smile to their face.
Right, but I don't come at it from that perspective, personally.
Fair enough. Go on.
All right. Now, this is the part if you ranted before, you're going to really rant now. Much like what I just said about the 80s. How are we doing?
Well, we got about 7 minutes. Go.
Okay. Much like you just did with the rant about the moral majority, the Christian conservatives, the modern, in my opinion, my belief, the modern Democratic Party has been overrun with the 60s radical socialists. Is the average Democrat that? No. But the people who currently hold position have got this whole social engineering thing going on that they're trying. And you all can look it up. You can believe it. You can not believe it. But that's how it is. When Democrats are in office in the past 20 years, the military becomes a social experiment.
Say what you want to say.
I am.
Adam. I need you to not be a weak conservative.
I'm not.
No, you are. I need you to be a man.
How's that?
I need you to be a man today. Okay? Not trying to like get your GERD, not trying to like call you out for being something you're not. I need you to be a man today for conservatives because we are 2 days from the election. I need you to say the things that you want to say off the top of your head. My audience is smart. Liberals are smart. Democrats are smart. Moderates are smart. Regressives, some are smart. Some are smart. They really are. I'm not an idiot. I've met very smart people on the regressive side that I listen to. I literally listen to them. Say what you want to say. You say socialism. You've never lived in a socialist country in your life. You don't know what a true socialist country is. Say what you really want to say. Say the C word. Say it. What you want to say is communism.
No, communism is a myth.
No, you want to say communism.
It's a myth.
Because communism and socialism were synonymously switched terms.
No, not.
That the Russians, as well as many other, Benito Mussolini, and many others in the past, flip-flopped those terms quite often and ran their countries under those methods.
The man himself who wrote the theory of communism did not believe it could work. Because of the human element.
Exactly. He said, and I know exactly what you're talking about, he said that if everything worked perfectly the way it's supposed to, without the human element, communism is the greatest form of government that the world will have ever seen. Everyone is on equal. Everyone, what is it he says? Everyone is on equal. Everyone. Everyone gets but wealth besets all. Everybody is rich. Everybody has enough of whatever to sustain life at all times. Nobody would have financial or your typical food, water, shelter problems. No one would ever have that problem. Everybody would be equal across the board. But because the human element dictates that some are lazy, some are not lazy,
and some are power hungry,
some are greedy, that it can never work. Because there's always going to be someone who's trying to undercut somebody else and stab somebody else in the back. And that's why communism failed in Russia. Yet, communism thrives very heavily in China, who is the number one economic superpower, who does have the world's largest military that could crush the United States, no matter how well-trained you think you are. You take 500,000 people and put them up against 2 million, they're going to lose that fight.
It does have, China does, in fact, have the largest standing ground force, yes.
That's right. That's my point. So to sit there and say that communism does not work is not 100% true. You have examples of it not working. You have examples of this socialism not working. Because, as I just put Adam on point, I want him to say what he means. He says socialism because that's the clue words we use in the United States today that people know.
I can explain it if you'd like me to, the way I see it.
Sure. You got 3 minutes.
First off, the communism does not work 100%, and China is not purely communist. They've discovered that capitalism works pretty well too for what they want.
So they're a hybrid.
Yes, they are.
They're a little bit Republican and a little bit Democrat.
You
they're like
also,
a moderate.
Now, see, you and I bet we come together before the end of the show on this stuff.
I bet we will.
In some ways.
You want us to.
No.
Use your inside voices, by the way. Stop. Use your inside voice.
Am I talking too loud?
No, you're fine.
Okay.
I can turn you down if I want to.
Thank you.
You're good. Yeah.
Socialism, by the definition I'm trying to use it, the element of it is the government running a majority of the operations in a country. I'm not saying it as European socialism, but Democrats do tend to favor the government being in charge or having their fingers in something. The conservative side of the ball, Republicans, really, the goal is to get the government out of the situation. I'm a political science major from college. I have some work in...
Did you graduate with that degree?
Yes, I did.
From where?
Carbondale.
SIUC?
Yep.
Carbondale.
Mm-hmm.
Poli-sci. You should be a lawyer. Why are you not a lawyer right now?
I really don't want to talk about my ex-wife.
All right, fair enough. That bitch. No. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here on the show. We're at the top of the hour here on KYRO. 1280 AM, WestplexNewsTalk.com. You are listening to The Q Show. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, and I am joined today by Adam Jackson, a conservative who's decided to come in this Sunday before the general election for the 2012 presidential candidacy and jump in and talk a little politics with me on both sides of the realm. And we are discussing some of the differences between liberals as well as conservatives. I didn't say regressive.
Thank you.
I say conservative. Just for you. Because I wanted you to feel good. But listen, during this break, I need you guys to go and check out TheQNow.com. Old episodes, new episodes, stuff with me and Travis Cook, stuff with me and Fred Slow from Too Heavy to Skydive. Also, don't forget, every single Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, RadioFooBar.com. That's where you can find a replay of this specific show this Tuesday night. Me and Adam Jackson, RadioFooBar.com. We'll be back right after this.
With all these buyouts and all of our companies going overseas, there's no reason our beer needs to be owned by a foreign company.
American Patriot Beer is a crisp, clean lager, full of flavor and full of American spirit.
And it's being brought to you by some of the very same Americans who lost their jobs to buyouts. You're gonna love it.
It's all been made right here in the USA. The bottles, the grains, even the paper for the cartons.
One taste is all it takes. American Patriot and American Patriot Light, now available in bottles and cans.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and I am joined today by one Adam Jackson, who is chilling with me here on the radio. Are you enjoying yourself, Adam?
I'm actually having a blast.
You are having a blast. I would have loved to bring us back in with some music, but I was too busy posting to the social medias that I exist as a human being. So let's find ourselves a wonderful individual like Chris Brown or someone who's kind to women, treats everybody well. To bring us back on our next break, because you know what I'm saying. And there we go. We'll do some Maroon 5 on the next one. What do you think about that? You like that? You like that idea?
That'll work.
All right, so we are talking politics today because, well, we have a presidential election, ladies and gentlemen, that is coming up here on Tuesday, and we are kind of breaking down both sides of the political spectrum a little bit. I am joined by Adam Jackson, as we've already stated, to discuss these things. And Let's talk about some of the actual facts of things. Now, I am assuming that you are voting for Mitt Romney on Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we have discussed off the air. Let's discuss on the air real quickly.
Sure.
Why are you voting for Mitt Romney?
As I said, and I'm not going to pull back and try to change what I said.
Of course.
This is a situation. I am voting not even impartially against the past 4 years.
You are voting against Barack Obama.
Yes.
Specifically, not because you like Romney, because you hate Barack Obama.
Ah, to be fair.
Not hate. Dislike.
No, to be fair, Romney has grown on me in the past couple of months.
No, he hasn't.
I was a Herman Cain guy.
You were a Herman Cain guy and Romney grew on you? Amazing.
Back in the prior election,
Colin Powell should have grown on you.
I was all for Fred Thompson.
Wow. That's wow. Yeah. Okay. That's like the Crypt Keeper becoming the president. That's almost as bad as Ron Paul in age-wise.
I don't even want to talk about the Ron Paul thing. That's
okay, go on. But you're voting against Barack Obama.
Yes.
As opposed to voting for Mitt Romney and his policies. He's grown on you, but you're not 100% or even maybe 75% locked in with Mitt Romney. You're just voting against Barack.
I am voting against Barack Obama.
Why be bitter? That's like going to the high school dance, and because your ex-girlfriend who just broke up with you the day before, she kissed another guy, you go and find the girl across, but you make sure you keep eyeing her so that she sees you making out with this girl to piss her off.
It's pretty simple. Really, the truth is because, and people can say that they're both the same side of a coin when they're not. What has been going on the past 4 years has not worked. Now, before you start saying Bush's fault.
Okay.
At some point, an administration has to take responsibility.
Yes, they do. I agree 100%.
This administration.
You do understand the fall over concept, right?
Say it again.
You understand the fall over concept, right?
Go ahead and say it.
The fall over concept for everybody out there who doesn't understand politics and the way the government works in general and life in general works is that there's a broad-based rule that states the economic policies and thought processes have a fall over period of almost a year and a half to 2 years into the next president's life term. So that means if something Barack Obama does right now, this stuff will literally affect the next president or the next presidential term in general. It doesn't matter who the president is. It affects the next presidential term. Everything's almost two years out from where it needs to be is basically what it's saying. So whatever's going on right now, if Mitt Romney becomes president of the United States, 2 years from now or a year and a half from now, you will still see the effects of the Barack Obama administration before his stuff starts to take. It takes like a year to a year and a half. Like, you can look at it from two different ways. It either takes a year and a half to almost 2 years for the new president's stuff to gear up and get moving, which means you're still having the residual outcomes and effects over those 2 years periods of the last president. That's called the fallover method.
One of the most extreme examples would be the Carter to Reagan era.
Yes. Yes.
That would be huge.
Well, there was also the recessionary period between George Bush Sr. and Bill Clinton. If you remember, during George Bush's last 2 years, a recession had started.
Yes.
But the fall over of literally those economic policies to get us out of that recession went into the first 2 years of Clinton's. So Clinton benefited, looking like a king, like he was the one who turned the recession around, where the truth is because of the fall over method, it was just a natural progression of the recession started, bottomed out and came back.
Right.
2 years into his presidency. It wasn't anything Bill Clinton did, because Bill Clinton didn't do nothing in the first 2 years of his presidency. He didn't sign no bills or laws or anything to try to help anything out. He just got elected and became president. That was it.
Using that argument, that means that our current president hasn't done anything.
No, actually, that's the difference. You see, when Barack Obama took office, the Dow Jones was in a free fall. Now, remember, everybody, let's little history lesson for everybody. July of 2008, last great year economically for everybody. Last great month economically for everybody. In July of 2008, gas was just getting ready to start hitting $4 a gallon. The Dow Jones was at 13,000, somewhere right around there.
Wasn't 15?
It might have been about 15. You're right. It's about like 14.5 to 15, somewhere in that range. It's up there.
Yeah.
It's up.
Up and down.
It was definitely above 13. Definitely above 13. Mm-hmm. Then you had August, the crash. Gas prices, $4 a gallon. Housing crashes. Goldman Sachs. All that stuff. Crash to the ground. Price Waterhouse, all of them. Boom, 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 boom. Economy tanks. Month and a half later, Barack Obama gets elected to be president of the United States, 2008. Recession has already begun. Recession begins 2 months before Barack Obama. Well, actually, technically about a month before Barack Obama even gets elected. He's still running to be potentially president of the United States. It already starts crashing. He takes office in January. In January of 2009. Still free falling. Stuff's going worse. When he took office, two things. Dow Jones was in a free fall. Eventually, it would bottom out in late 2009 or early 2010, somewhere around there. At about 7,000, 8,000, somewhere right around there. It has since now, during his presidency, not only free fall all the way to the bottom, but in these last 2 years has come all the way back to almost the exact same levels it was the last good week of our economy in 2008. The Dow Jones is back up to 13,000, if I am correct. Double check that.
I'm checking it right
now. I want you to double check that. Okay. I don't want to give misleading or incorrect information to anyone. The Dow Jones is back up. In fact, do this for me. Just go search and find out what the Dow Jones average is today.
I'm doing it. I got a stocks thing here.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Find out what the Dow Jones is at right now. Because I guarantee you, it's not at 7,000 like it was 2 years ago.
It's Sunday, so of course there was no activity.
Oh, of course, yeah. Last good day.
Yesterday, Friday. Friday, it dropped 139 points. It's right about at, I want to say, just a tick above 13.
It's at 13. It bottomed out 2 years ago at 7,500. It's now back to 13. That means in these last 2 years, it had time. In the 4 years of his presidency, it had time to go from 13 plus all the way down to 7 and crash because of the crash and come back and rebound all the way above 13. Ladies and gentlemen, that's recovery. That is economic recovery. What has not recovered is people's opinion of how bad and expensive life is. If you are a conservative who is complaining about the thing that I just said, how bad and expensive life is, look no further than your conservative brethren who run businesses who continue to gouge you for prices. Yes, I get it. Free market economy. Get what you can, however you can. And it's their problem. If they don't want to pay the price, they don't get it. Yeah, I get it. But if you are getting gouged on things you need, food, water, shelter. I'm not talking about a Nintendo Wii controller here that you don't need, you want. I'm talking about, hey, I used to get a gallon of ice cream for $3.50. $3. $3 for a gallon of ice cream. Now I get a half gallon for $3. That's just them getting over the top of you. And they're going to go to the polls on Tuesday and vote for Mitt Romney. Yeah. Yeah. They're not your friend. If you're voting for Mitt Romney, you're not anyone's friend. You're just voting because, one, you're either racist and you hate the black guy.
Now,
stop. I said that's one.
Okay.
I didn't say that's the only reason, but there are people that are going to do that. Tell me that there's not people that will do that. Are there people that will go literally on Tuesday and vote because Barack Obama's black against him?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. I didn't say that's everyone and that's right. Their only reason. I said that there are people that will do that. There are people that are going to blame Barack Obama because of our economy. Barack Obama was not running the country when the economy crashed. Barack Obama did not even sign the first stimulus package for this country. Which everybody forgets about that so quickly. Then in the last 3 months of his presidency, George Bush signed a $700 million stimulus package, just like Barack Obama's. What I think is funny is that you guys have this thought process that runs through your minds where you can get away with thinking what you want to think and telling everybody what you think. Listen, go back to your job making cupcakes. Stop trying to tell everybody you understand what's going on in this nation, because you don't. You don't sit there like I do and other people do who do this for a living and get versed in it and listen to it and figure it out and find it. And I don't think all regressives or conservatives or Republicans are bad people, and I don't think that all of them are wrong. I'm a moderate. I think everything of both sides. Now, the other thing. Yes, sir.
By your definition, by your last argument, that means that Bush Sr. deserved a second term.
If Bush Sr. deserved a second term, that is true. True. Okay. I agree. Okay. That's not the decision that was made.
Exactly.
Okay. Come Tuesday, I feel that Bush Sr., part two, Barack Obama, deserves a second term. That might not be the outcome of that election. That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. No.
As I've said earlier, I've quit watching, even bothering the polls. You got the same poll saying two different things nowadays. Tuesday, that's it. We don't know. We'll know Tuesday night around 9 p.m.
Yeah, George Bush Sr. wasn't a bad president. He didn't do anything wrong. But my point is that I don't have a problem with what the outcome of the election is. I'm not going to be angry if Barack Obama loses. Because let me tell you something. Barack Obama isn't going to be angry if Barack Obama loses. He's not going to have to get up as early anymore. I guarantee you he's going to have a lot of people from different colleges calling him, talking about, why don't you come here for a speaker series to the tune of $100,000 to $400,000 a pop. Just like Bill Clinton, just like Jimmy Carter and the rest of them did. Trust me, Barack Obama is also going to be able to have his face in a freaking history book for the rest of his life. And go down as the... He can... Barack Obama... I bet you this is going to piss you regressives off more than anything else in the world. Barack Obama can say his name in the same vein as John Adams, Abraham Lincoln, and George Washington.
Yes.
Yep. I know who I'm talking to right now, and it's not you, Adam. I'm talking to the extreme ones.
No, I got you.
I'm talking to the ones that are on edge. Take it for what it is. That man can wake up every single morning of his life and go, I'm on the same level as George Washington.
Yep. Most exclusive club in American history.
Deal with it. You can vote him out all day long. He don't care. He's already done the impossible. So, my point is this. If you're going to vote for Barack Obama, vote for the right reasons. If you're going to vote against him, don't vote against him because he's the president. and you don't like what's happened over the last 4 years, vote for someone who's going to do something to help you out. Not him being in there is not going to change anything. If Mitt Romney takes office, guys, do you realize he already agrees 75 to 80% with everything Barack Obama does? He already does. He's admitted it in two different debates that he agrees with the things that this guy does. The other 30% that he disagrees with him or feels different about isn't going to change your day-to-day life. This economy is going to recover on its own, regardless of the president of the United States. Or it's going to get worse, regardless of the president of the United States. There aren't going to be more people that want to hire people because Mitt Romney becomes president. It doesn't matter. It ain't going to happen. You guys got to stop. That's not how the game works. The game doesn't work that way. Here's how the game works. Real simple. Game works real simple. Either things happened that were good, or things happened that were bad. Point blank. End of story. The economy started off high when he became president because of the recession that started prior to him being inaugurated, crashed to the ground, and then came back to what Adam just exclaimed off of his cell phone, above 13,000. That is a teetotaling wreck and recovery all within the 4 years. If he was a bad president and it was because of him, it would still be crashed. But the economy is not crashed. The thoughts of the people within this country are crashed. They are still unsure. They are still scared and pinching every penny themselves. That has no effect on the actual economy. That's just a bunch of people calling for the sky is falling like Chicken Little. You're scared. I get it. That's why I say conservatives and regressives day to day are scared people. You're scared of healthcare reform because you don't know. But you're scared of everything. Behind a gun, you guys are tough. On the internet, you guys talk great. But when you get off your little internet and you have to get face-to-face someone and there ain't no gun around to protect you, you get scared. You got problems. You're worried about this. All of you. All of you, Adam. Every single one of you. Now, the other thing that you got to take into account, ladies and gentlemen, is that when Barack Obama took office, we were on the front end of a recession, as I explained. It had just begun. We were only, what, 3 months into it when he gets inaugurated. Jobs were at 7.8%. Now, when Bush had originally taken office, they were at 4. By the end of his presidency, they got up to 7.8. But that's because the recession started. So things started hitting, cracking real fast. There was nothing Bush could do about it. You know, he's just going to take the end of it for whatever it's worth. He don't care. He's out after 8 years. Barack gets stuck with 7.8 and still falling. It eventually gets above 10, right above 10, 10.2 or whatever. Somewhere around 10. It's today. It went up a point today. Today. The news, before we started, it went up a point. It's at 7.9. It was at 7.8. So it has literally started at 7.8, crashed to the ground also, and recovered back to the exact same point it was. 2 points lower at 7.8. 7.9 as of this moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all happened during this man's presidency. So is it his fault, or was it a happenstance and a circumstance of him just a coincidence? What was it? What do you think it was, Adam?
You're not going to like it, but I'm going to say it has to do with happen chance and the basic fundamentals of capitalism.
Okay. So you can't blame that on Barack Obama then.
Hold on. Presidents can affect positive or negative. Just not.
Whoa.
Hold on. What? But not at the extremes that the American public believes a president can.
Adam?
What?
Is it because of capitalism, free market economies, and the good old regressive conservative beliefs of capitalism? Or is it because Barack Obama is a liberal president of the United States and he himself, with his abilities, was able to make this happen? Which is it?
The recovery happened despite the president.
Okay, so if the recovery happens despite the president, then if it's despite an individual, that means an individual has no effect on it.
He had an effect.
No. No effect on it. He's been president for 4 years. It has crashed and come back during his presidency. So either he was the negative effect or he was the positive effect. Or he was both. Which is it? Is he the negative, the positive, or both? Or is he despite? Is he completely exhumed of this? And it's because of the natural roller coaster progression of capitalism.
The current president's policies were like tying a weight to your ankles and running.
Well, remember, we have the fallover method. So for the first 2 years, that was all George Bush.
And this is the slowest recovery, I think, in American history from a recession.
Potentially.
I don't really count the war years because that's a different scenario.
Do you think that any of our... The mindset of a normal person in the United States is literally based off the individuals around them.
Sure.
And the way life affects them directly. Everything can be going great with the economy, as we have already explained and proven on my show. But
I would say they're going good.
Hold on. They're going good.
Well,
they're going
not
good.
Great.
Fine. Whatever. I think a recovery of almost 5,000 points in the Dow Jones is pretty impressive.
I think it's pretty flat, but I'm going to give you the benefit
whatever.
Of the doubt.
Sure. Give me benefit of the doubt. But you don't care on the day-to-day. Like, you're not jumping up in the morning and going, what's my Dow Jones looking like today? No, you're not. See, you're just going to work, and the person that influences and affects you the most is your boss and the people around you at work. If they give you a raise, you're happy. And if they don't give you a raise, you're not. Right? Would you agree? When you get a raise, you're happy.
What's a raise?
Would you agree? Okay. Barack Obama is not calling your company or the owners of your company and going, don't give Adam a raise.
No.
He's not. Then the president wouldn't be influencing and would be a bad person that you need to get out because he's against you, Adam, directly. He is stopping them from giving you a raise. Or he's telling them to give you a raise and helping you. But in that case, he's not. Those decisions are made by people that have nothing to do with the president of the United States. So your day-to-day likes or dislikes or happiness, for many people, including yourself, happen to do with how you are treated at work, how you interact with the other individuals at work, your bosses as well as your subordinates, and how they financially affect you on a day-to-day. Like, you don't get up just to work for free. You get up to work for money. If they give you more money one day, you're, like, happy about that. That makes your life better, and you feel better about it. If you don't make more money, or they what do they call that, a pay freeze? They put you on a pay freeze because the economy's crap. That doesn't make you happy because you're not getting raises. You're not getting happy anymore. It's not Barack Obama's fault or even his White House or even his political staff that has created that issue. Your company is an independently, privately owned company. They might be publicly traded on the stock market, but the people that make the decisions at the top of that food chain all the way down to where you work are private individuals that make those decisions on their own accord. No different than the head of Westgate Properties, who sent out the 8,000-person email to all of his employees that said, I like Barack Obama as much as the St. Louis Cardinals like the San Francisco Giants. Not at all. And I want you to vote against him and vote for Mitt Romney because it will help you secure your jobs, or else I'm not going to be happy and I'm going to lay a bunch of you off. That's the kind of guy that runs a lot of companies. I'm not saying that those people would necessarily go to the extremes that he went to, but I'm saying that a lot of people think the same way he thinks. So my point is, ladies and gentlemen, if there's a lot of people that think the way this gentleman thinks, he does control your day-to-day life and how you react, how you feel. It's not Barack Obama. So you might love Barack Obama, but if you feel like you might be one of the 3,000 people that gets laid off from their job at Westgate Properties because your boss sent out this memo, what are you going to do? You don't want to be one of those people. You don't want to lose your job. Hey, no raise, but having a paycheck is better than having no paycheck at all. That's my point. You guys have it stuck in your minds that the world is against you. The world's not against you. We're going to take a quick break here on KYRO, WestplexNewsTalk.com. You're listening to The Q Show, TheQNow.com. Check that out. When we come back, we're at the bottom of the hour here on 1280. I want to hear from you, 636-356-9266. We'll be back on The Q right after this.
I'm at a payphone trying to call home all of my change I spent on you. Where have the times gone, baby? It's all wrong. Where are the plans we made for two? Yeah, I...
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, my name is Mark Bland. You're listening to 1280 AM at KYRO WestplexNewsTalk.com. Check out, they have a lot of great shows. And before we go any further on this, don't forget to check out Tuesday nights live on RadioFubar.com. The replay, that Central Standard Time of me and Adam going to town today here live on the radio with you. Also, a little bit of a shout out there to a sponsor on my show that has been a conservatively owned company that has gone out of their way to take back America one beer at a time, American Patriot Beer. And you can find out more about American Patriot Beer at AmericanPatriotBeer.com. You a beer drinker?
I don't drink.
You don't drink at all?
Nope.
Is that a choice, like a lifestyle choice where you're like, I don't want to be a drinker, or you just don't like the taste of alcohol, or what's the reason?
Both, actually.
Were you an alcoholic at some point?
No. When I was 5 years old, I picked up a Warm Stag beer and took a sip, and that did it for me for the rest of my life.
Really?
Yep.
5 years old. What are you doing at 5 years old picking up beers, bro?
I'm from a small German town where the bar
you
was the
are
central
a conservative.
Location.
You like drinking early in your life, and you like wearing flip-flops and cargo pants along with mossy oak jackets.
No.
And telling everybody about your NRA hat.
I don't have an NRA.
And you like shooting guns? Of course you do. Of course you do.
Hello, Marine.
Yep, you sure do, don't you? Love breaking them down and cleaning them.
Yeah.
Watching the first 45 minutes of Full Metal Jacket over and over.
Absolutely.
I get it. I know you do. I know you do, you whack job. You're a conservative, Adam. You know what? While I have you here on the thing, basically, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to give you our last-ditch attempt, please, for why we feel that you should vote for the individual on the ballot on Tuesday. Now, here goes my last-ditch attempt effort. Ladies and gentlemen, the United States of America is in a very volatile situation. We have a lot of people that are separated via their policies, their ideas, their morals across the board. Barack Obama took over this country in a very bad situation, a recession that had just begun. During that time period, things bottomed out, and he was able to bring it back to where he brought it to when he first took office. Had he had taken over the presidency of the United States on the backside of a recession, as opposed to being at 7.8% unemployment and it going up from there, had he had brought it, had he caught wind on the backside at 7.8 when it was going down, he possibly could have gotten it down to 5 or 6%. We'd be at 5 or 6% unemployment right now, which is great numbers. That's where we normally are. The world is different. Gas is more expensive because gas is more expensive. It's not because of Barack Obama. It's because of OPEC. It's because of people in the Middle East that don't like Americans. We've had to cut deals with these countries. Listen, we owe a lot of money to the United Arab Emirates. We owe a lot of money to Egypt and these countries over there that have oil. And instead of them coming over here and cashing in their $30 billion pay chip on us and playing the F you pay me game from Goodfellas, we say, hey, listen, instead of us having to pay you a bunch of money we don't have currently in our coffers, we'll, for the next 20 years, we'll buy oil from you. That way, you get money from us to put on the tables of the families that live in your country. In exchange from that, we get oil, which is what we need for our country, and therefore, everybody's happy across the board. You're happy, your people are getting to be able to put bread on the table. I'm happy, my people are being able to get oil to put into our tanks. And you don't cash your $30 billion check in. Barack Obama had to deal with that. George Bush had to deal with that. President Clinton had to deal with that. And every single president, all the way back to freaking Franklin Delano Roosevelt, has had to deal with these situations. It's not Barack Obama. Mitt Romney and Barack Obama are pretty much on the same page. But they haven't tested out healthcare yet. It could be a really, really good thing. And I know a lot of conservatives are out there like, how dare you do this, that, and the other? Well, you know, not every guy marries the first girl that they meet at the dance. Not every guy dates forever the first person they ever meet. A lot of them play the field a few times before they find the right mixture. We haven't even played the field yet, and you're already saying it's an ugly woman. Stop it. Give the guy a chance to do his job. And if Mitt Romney, God bless you, sir, if you win presidency of the United States, this moderate is not going to be angry. Good luck to you, too. because it ain't Barack Obama that had an issue, and it won't be because of you that we have issues. We have issues because we have a lot of people in the United States of America that are just freaking butthurt. And that's why I'm calling the Wednesday after the election Butthurt Wednesday. Because I guarantee you Barack Obama's going to win by a small margin, and it's going to be just enough to make all you conservatives really butthurt and seething and bitter and angry for the next 4 years. And all you're going to do is trump it again for two more years from now when it comes time for the Senate and the House to, like, make the re-elections. Yeah, we get it. You're butthurt. Stop. Let these people do their jobs. Go back to making cupcakes and saucing pizzas and doing whatever you do for a living. And stop worrying about what Barack Obama and Mitt Romney and John Boehner and Nancy Pelosi and the rest of the United States people who do it for a living are doing at the top of the food chain. Because you don't know what you're doing. You know how to sauce a pizza. You know how to make a cupcake. You know how to fix a transmission. You don't know crap about foreign policy and how people over in those countries deal with people in our country. You know why? Because you ain't never been to Egypt. You never been to Libya, where for 2 weeks people rioted before the ambassador and those three others were killed. Yeah. We've been going over to their countries for 8 years, idiots. Knocking on their bird cages and pissing their dogs off. You tell me, Adam, let me tell you something right now, bro. You're not a bad person. I don't have a problem with you at all. But if you pissed me off and you kept coming in my backyard and letting your dog poop there, and I told you a couple times, stop coming in my backyard and let your dog poop there, eventually, homie, I'm pulling a gun. And I'm gonna put it to your temple. And we're going to have a discussion. And you're not going to be happy. Because at that point, we're going to be at odds. And someone's going to do some radical crap. That's what happened in Benghazi. That's what happens with people in those countries when you keep going into their backyards with machine guns. And walking around like you're hot crap. Because you got on camouflage and some night vision goggles. You ain't hot crap, bro. China's begging for you to step into their country and play that game. China is begging us to step into their world and play modern warfare. Because they will trounce us. I'm a 6'4", 250-pound former professional wrestling United States citizen. I know how to pick up a gun just as easy as any military veteran knows how to pick up a gun. I know how to use it just like any military veteran knows how to use it. It ain't that hard. The game is point and shoot. Make sure your clip's in right. We ain't got time to discuss it when the crap hits the fan. It's literally grab your six shooter and start pointing. Okay? We aren't the world superpower anymore. It's not because Barack Obama didn't make you the world superpower anymore. We're not the world superpower anymore because our dollar is crap. We're a bunch of butthurt, scared people running around trying to smoke and mirrors to everyone how tough we really are when we're not that tough. So how about we stop worrying about showing off and get back to getting into the weight room and really making ourselves tough? And getting in there and training ourselves to be those guys. Barack Obama is the future of this country. I really want you guys to take it serious. And I want you to give him a chance for four more years to do what he needs to do. I'm a moderate. I can be swayed. I've listened to every argument. Mitt Romney is not making enough argument. I voted for George Bush in 2000. I voted for George Bush in 2000. I voted for John Kerry in 2004. Barack Obama in 2008. I'm voting for Barack Obama again. There has not been enough of a sway, Adam, and the rest of you out there, for me to believe otherwise. Because I'm a very smart, logical individual. And if there was something to what you're saying, some substance to what is being said on that side of the thing, I would jump there. I'm not an idiot. I can see where grass is greener. There isn't greener grass over there, and I'm not going to just let somebody who's rich, who wants to be famous, jump into the White House because he wants the title of President of the United States. You bring some to the table, homie, I'll give you a shot. But you're not bringing anything to the table other than, I'm really rich and I got a lot of friends. Yeah, so do I. So do I. So why should I believe you? by the way, for all of you out there that want to argue the healthcare thing, Romney Care actually worked. It worked so well that he got reelected as the governor of the state of Massachusetts. That's how well Romney Care worked. What's Obamacare, as you like to call it? It's a set of guidelines for privatized health care to where they can't screw normal people over anymore. It doesn't matter whether you're a rich person or a poor person. As long as you have privatized health care, these guidelines stipulate you can't screw us anymore. You can't do it. That's what the point of health care is. It's not universal health care. It doesn't mean everybody's going to get free health care. You already got that. It's called welfare and Medicaid. You've had it for hundreds upon thousands of years in this damn country. And I think we're only 200 years old. Thousands of years. You already had it. And it didn't bother your day-to-day life. Because in the 1980s, when you guys all want to go back to, you want to regress, as I say, back to the 1980s when life was great and gas was 75 cents a gallon and booyah, booyah, booyah. Guess what? You had Medicaid and Medicare then too. And it didn't affect your life. Adam wasn't working at a pizza parlor in 1989 listening to the latest Styx album, worried about Medicaid and Medicare and how it was affecting his money and his bank account. You know what he was doing? He was 19, running around in his car, his Pinto that was up on 13s, big time 13s, getting ready to go sign up for the military. That's what he was doing. He wasn't worried about Medicaid and Medicare, and he didn't have so little money in his bank account because gas prices were out of control. Because greedy conservatives ran a bunch of privatized companies, and they just kept jacking you for your gallon of ice cream higher and higher. That's the truth.
I was part of the drug war in 1989 in the Marine Corps, so...
That's part of the truth, though. That's the truth. You weren't worried about it back then. But you're worried about it now. You think about it now.
Yes.
And so do a lot of people that are 19. Back then, people at 19 didn't think about it. Now they do.
Maybe they should.
No. It wasn't bad. It's never been bad. It's not. It's bad. It's life just goes up and down. Even Caesar got stabbed in the back, guys. The most powerful man in the history of the world, Julius Caesar, got stabbed in the back by his best friend. Life's not fair. Deal with it. Vote for Barack Obama, because life's not fair. Mitt Romney is not going to change anything or do anything.
It's got to be the greatest campaign slogan in history. Vote because life's not fair.
That's right.
I can just hear the commercial right now.
All right, your point. Your point.
Okay. Mark is passionate. And
Mark
I have
talks
to give
a
him,
lot. Yep.
And I have to
yep.
give him points for that.
Yep. Very
so
passionate.
I'm going to make my points this way. Everything he said with all that passion equated to being happy with what's being termed as the new normal. Lowered expectations.
Well, real quick. 20 years from now, this could be where we're still sitting.
That's just what
that
I said.
Would be normal, though.
Lowered expectations.
I don't think that's lowered expectations. Inflation. Things happen. Life moves forward. I'm going to give you your time. I'm just saying.
That's fine.
Life moves forward. Like, we pay more for gas now than we did in the 80s. And they paid more for gas in the 80s than they did in the 60s. Like, that's just general life. It's always going to be the new normal. Because life is always just going to increase at its own level pace. You can't subjugate this time period out specifically and say, oh, it's so much worse than before, and it's going to be so much better than it will be. You don't know. 10 years from now, it could be $5 a gallon is your new normal average price for gas in the United States. So,
Mark makes a point. But when I say the new normal, I'm not talking about everybody's individual economic condition. We are currently living in a world where he's absolutely right. America has lost its superpower status.
Butthurt.
It's a true statement. There are two countries in the world that share that, and that's us and China. Russia's trying to get back into the game. We have lost our status. I come from an era when America was the top country. We fought for that supremacy.
I'm 36, so do I.
Okay, great. To put it simply, the world, the American society, has lost the concept of American exceptionalism. And we're being told that by our political leaders. That's just how it is. As the president once said, get used to it. That's just the way it is. prices are going to go up because that's the way I need it to be. Electricity, if you remember that particular speech.
Inflation.
Also,
I mean, general inflation.
Also, policies put in place that would necessarily raise the price of electricity. That's a quote. Folks, we don't have to settle for this status quo that we're being sold now. Will Mitt Romney come in and make the world a better place? I can't say that.
Will he bring you hope and change?
Based off what I've seen of hope and change in the past 4 years, I hope not.
I think you're just looking too much in the world, but fair enough.
Can he make it all happen? I don't know. I can't speak for him. I'm not on his board. I'm a guy who makes $20,000 a year. I drive a 20-year-old car, and I'm still a Republican because I believe in a greater vision than just my own personal existence. I believe in the concept of a rising tide lifts all ships. I don't believe in the direction that I see this country going.
Wait.
What?
Not to...
Go ahead, please.
A rising tide what?
Raises all ships.
Okay.
What are you...
No, you're fine.
I believe that we are on the verge of becoming a two-class system in this country when we are designed to be a three-class system. And in this three-class system we have now, someone in a lower class can always aspire to achieve a higher class. They can work for it, and they can achieve it if all things fall their way. In the class system that's coming, in my opinion, you will have a lower class and a political elite. We've seen it before. It doesn't work. Russia. Soviet Union era. I'm sorry, Mark shaking his head at me, and I'm responding to Mark.
Oh, no, I was just... The fact that Russia, like, the people that ran the country, Mikhail Gorbachev, they weren't even rich.
Well, they were rich in that society, okay? They had the benefits.
I think they actually made $20,000 a year and drove a 20-year-old car.
Well, all right. Then I would have fit right in. We have... This is hard for me to say, being a former military member, to watch the world go up in flames, especially in Central Asia. I believe it's because of a weak lead-from-behind foreign policy that the president has adopted. Do I think that Benghazi is his fault? His fault? No. I believe it's his State Department's fault. I believe wholeheartedly two Navy SEALs requested help after defying orders from the CIA, for that came from higher up, to not go and help the embassy. And I do believe that we have a track record of events like this in this country under this president and his administration. And I expect we will see more of such things. We have...
Now, this is the same president who, with the exact same State Department, as well as the exact same commanders in staff over the last 4 years, that when push came to shove on the call for bin Laden, they did make that call right?
I was ready for that one.
That did happen, right?
It did happen.
So you have Benghazi. Well, like, you, because you always hitch things. You always hitch things on big moments, right? You always hitch things on big moments. Benghazi's a big moment.
Yes.
But so is bin Laden. They kind of cancel each other out. Same people, same thought processes. But, you know, in this one, they make the right call. And that one, they don't.
With one little caveat here. This is now known, and you can look it up. The president actually had a letter drafted that would have absolved him of all blame if the bin Laden raid had failed. It would have been placed squarely on the shoulders of the admiral who gave the go.
That, can you prove that?
I'm not going to pull out my iPod right now, but yes, that is actually...
Well, here's what we're going to do, because I think that that's a big, big thing for us. I think if you do not have Breitbart.com specifically as your source...
Actually, I don't go to Breitbart.
But I'm just saying, something of that nature. Like, you have legitimate... Because listen, man... A lot of people always wanted to argue about the whole birther situation. Remember that? The whole birth certificate? Actual American citizen or not?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've talked about this on the show before. There is a committee, a panel of individuals during presidential elections that run the gamut of both political parties that also put the candidates through the ringing test. they have to pass with flying colors through this committee of both Democrats and Republicans. And if they have a question or if there is a red flag, like the dude wasn't born in the United States, they're going to call him. They ain't no Republicans sitting on that thing allowing some random Democrat to get on the candidacy chart.
Well, notice I didn't bring that up.
I know you didn't. I did. I'm just saying.
Okay.
Same idea applies to these things. You got people that work in the military that are card-carrying Mitt Romney lovers, and they're going to vote Mitt Romney on Tuesday. Some of those people are professional military servicemen. Some of them might even be the guys specifically talking to those Navy SEALs that you brought up. It's possible that just because he wanted to be a D-bag that day, that morning, that card-carrying conservative who's going to vote for Mitt Romney told those Navy SEALs to stand down on his own. Just as well as it's likely that maybe the order did come from the top of the food chain down to him, and he just passed it on to those Navy SEALs. We don't know. So if you don't know, don't blame. Yeah, you might think your wife's cheating on you, but unless you actually see your wife cheating on you, or you find out that she actually cheated on you, you can't claim she's cheating on you. Done. I can sit here all day and say that Adam's car is green. Adam's car could be blue or red or some other color, but I could sit here all day. But until I see Adam's car with my own eyes, I can't just sit here and tell people it's green. It's not green.
It is green, actually.
Is it really
green? It really is green, yeah. It's pretty good. It really is green. Yeah.
I'm gonna. It's sitting outside the parking lot.
Yeah, it's a green car.
No, that's it. Hold on. No. I want to see if it's green. I'm going. I'll be right back.
Mark is currently walking to the front of the building to look at my car.
Blue.
It is green.
It is as blue as it comes. Lying SOB conservatives.
It is green.
He's got a blue. It looks like a little Nissan, like a Fiat or something like that. I don't know. What
1992 it is. Toyota Corolla.
That is not a 1992 Toyota Corolla.
Yes, it is.
I drove a 1992 Toyota Corolla. That is like a 2002 Toyota Corolla.
It's a 1992 Corolla.
You are a lying man who came onto my show and lied.
Oh, he's having way
first
too
off,
much fun with it.
First off, it's blue.
Yeah, it's green.
I will post a picture of it on my next to my gold Malibu from 2002.
Now, if you're looking at the top of the car, that's because the paint is worn away.
No, bro. Stop. Just stop.
It's green.
You wish it was green.
And no, I wish it was a 2007 Eclipse, but
it's what it is it looks like it's about a 2001-2002 Corolla.
1992.
That is not a 1992 Corolla.
1992.
No way.
I pay the insurance. Trust me, it's 1992.
That's a 1992 Corolla.
Yes, it is.
It looks like it's definitely blue.
It's green.
It's blue. I don't know why you think it's green, man. Why do you have to lie? Don't lie to the people, man. Hey, well, listen, they really honestly are believing you.
It is an ugly color, whatever it is, but it is green.
It's blue.
It's green.
Are you blind?
Blue is pretty. It shines.
No, green, bro. Are you blind? Like, it's just blue, straight up. This is why you chase ghosts for a living. By the way, he's a paranormal investigator. This is it. You don't have a concept of telling the truth. Listen, I told you, only smart people listen to my show.
Wait.
You came on my show to play a game, and that's fine. And you played along really well, and we had a good time. But now here we are at the end of the show. You just called your blue car green.
My car is green.
Because you want to be funny.
It's green.
Because you want to be funny.
My car is green. It is a piece of crap green Toyota Corolla that is 20 years old. I can't believe we're debating this.
I just looked at it, you idiot. What a moron. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on The Cube. I want to thank Adam Jackson for coming on my show and being amazing all the way up till right at the end when he lied.
It's been a pleasure, Mark.
So we're going to, I know I got a call coming in, but unfortunately, we're at the end of the show. It's time for us to get out of here. Don't forget to check out thecuenow.com. That's thecuenow.com, as well as westplexnewstalk.com. Thank you to American Patriot Beer and Brewing for sponsoring my show, AmericanPatriotBeer.com. Check them out. And you can catch us here every single Saturday, noon to 2, or Sundays, noon to 2, on westplexnewstalk.com. We'll see you guys next time on The Cube.